Word of God, please turn to the book of 1 John chapter 4 and we'll continue our study. Boy, I do covet you prayers. As I was getting ready to come to church tonight, I almost had a panic attack. And you say, why? Well, I don't have much of a mind. That really is the bottom line. But when you get to studying, you know, and preachers and teachers understand what I'm saying, and I'm doing sort of a commentary through this, a running commentary. I'm typing it out and doing a lot of work that I don't normally do. So today I was thinking that, well, I know I am, and I'll tell you a little more about it in a minute. I was working on verses 11 through 19 because I thought tonight's study was supposed to be verses 7 through 10, which it is. And at least I hope it is. If I'm not, we're all in trouble. And anyway, you know, I thought, man, Debbie, I'm in trouble. So act like if it's not 7 through 10, if we did this last week, act like it's the first time you ever heard it. So anyway, it's amazing what I can get myself into studying the Word of God, trying to figure it out. But getting ready from week to week and trying to get ahead and come back, gee-many, and I don't keep really good notes. Now, here's what I'm going to start with. What's the key word of the book of John? Now, if you've got more than the one I've got, I know that there is at least one word that's mentioned in the book of John more than the word that I wanted you all to get, but it came up and it has come up in our study since chapter 1 time and again. So what's the key word as you understand it, as you did your, quote, homework assignment, unquote, for the book of John? Anybody? No. No, the word know or one of its cognate forms. Know, knoweth, known. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like to know things. If you do too, say amen. For instance, I like to know where I live. That's pretty handy when you get ready to go home, right? I mean, really, I like to notice, you may think this is crazy, but it may be. I like to know where my bed is when I get ready to go to bed. I don't want to be like my great-grandpa. I mean, the story goes, this is true, said he came home one night, it was real late, and this was before, you know, the modern inventions of Edison's lights and whatnot. And he had a tendency when he come home, you know, just the fire in the grate, you know, it was real dim and whatnot, and grandma would be sleeping, and it may not have been a grandpa, somebody in our family, but nonetheless, they'd say he'd come, and what he'd do, he'd get ready for bed and then take off running and jump. Well, he didn't know that day grandma moved the bed. So you see, it's good to know things, right? It is so good to know things. And John is a book of knowledge. I imagine him and Grandma had a long talk about that after things were going. So I appreciate you all looking forward and coming to know that. John wants us to know some things. Now, let's review a little bit, if not for you, for me. When John was writing this book, this general epistle it's talking about, we know he was writing a very intimate letter to God's little children, his little born ones, his little barns. And when he was doing this, what false teaching or what group of false teachers was he taking a stand against? Do you remember their names? Very good. Do you remember what they taught about Jesus Christ? It's very pertinent. Now, this goes back to verse 1 of chapter 4 when he said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, see whether they be of God. We're living in a day of great deception. Would you say amen to that? I mean, we're living in the last days, perilous times, 2 Peter or Timothy chapter 3, where he said that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and themselves. And the word themselves hidden in there, being deceived. So when we begin to look at this, what did those that were Gnostics believe in or teach specifically about Jesus Christ? Anybody? They believed that Jesus or Christ came on Jesus at his baptism and left at his crucifixion. In other words, they did not believe that Jesus Christ was very God of very God. They didn't believe that he was actually God manifest in the flesh. Somebody with a good loud voice, quote chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of John's Gospel, and I know you can do it. Anybody? Bingo. Anybody get the first part of verse 14 of chapter 1 of John? And the word was made flesh. I know you can talk louder than that. When you talk to Courtney, you talk louder than that, I'm sure. And don't edit that out of this tape tonight either, you hear? So John was fighting a battle. I mean, it's amazing. And listen, folks, there are things that we not only can know, but we need to know. Would you say amen? Remember, I talked to these young people. They're sitting on the front row a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And these young preachers, listen, I think in a lot of ways it's always been important, so don't take me wrong. But I don't know of a day that it's ever been more important that you know the truth about Jesus Christ and who He is. And listen to what I'm going to tell you He is. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was the Word of God fleshed out. I love saying it that way. It's an amazing way to say that. He was God incarnate. He was as much God, it was as if He were not man. But on the other hand, He was as much man, it was as if He were not God. He was both God and man in one body, and neither of His different parts of Him came together to mess the other up. Remember what He did? He sleep in a boat one time, head on a pillow, but in just a few minutes when the apostles were with Him said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He stood up, spoke peace to the Sea of Galilee, and immediately there was a great calm. The waters lay down flat and the wind ceased. You see, man sleeps. God doesn't slumber or sleep, one of the psalmists tells us, but only God can control. Only God can control nature as He does. So we've been looking at that. Look at verse 4, the beginning of it. He said, "Ye are of God." He's talking about God's children. Look at the beginning of verse 5. "They are of the world." And listen to what He said about those who are of the world. He said they won't hear God, and if they won't hear God, they won't hear one of God's men. Isn't that amazing? You ever wonder, Corey, when you preach? You ever wonder, Josh, when you preach, why people weren't paying attention, weren't getting it, weren't hearing? You know what? Not everybody comes to church is saved. Y'all know that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I'm afraid on the day, the first Lord's Day after the rapture, people get their senses together, they go back to church, there'll be some churches that'll gather unchanged. And that breaks my heart. You say, "Preacher, you're judging?" No. I'm just telling you what I think to be true in a sad, sad way. I'm afraid it'll be true. He said that ye are of God, they are of the world, and look what He said in verse 6. The beginning of it, we are of God. Now, I told you last week, those three things are significant. I don't know exactly how significant they are. I spent some time on them, but I'm not going to tonight. So look at verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. He said, "Beloved," I like this. He said, "Let us love God, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone," boy, that's inclusive. That's, you know what all means? I mean, law is the synonymous term of everyone. All means all, and that's all mean that, and that's all means. All right? So here, everyone means everyone, and that's all everyone means. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Can I draw your attention to something? He didn't say a propitiation. The Word of God is so precise. You all understand that, don't you? I mean, what's the difference in a and the? Anybody? A could stand and mean more than one. What? Means many. What does the word "the" mean coming before something? Only one of a kind. It is a definite article, meaning what follows is a one of a kind. There's just one of a kind Jim Mole, right, Gene? And that's a compliment, Moles, by the way. Don't you look cross-eyed at me. It was. But it's true, there's only one T.K. Price, and you ought to say amen to that, right? I mean, really, that's how precise the Word of God is. And just drawing that attention. Now look, when John began to introduce us to the love of God, and he's going to dig deeper into it here than he has before, he did it in two different ways. Early in his letter, we began to think about God and us having fellowship with Him, and Him loving us and us loving Him. He did it in terms of light and darkness, or actually maybe in the terms of fellowship. But here when he gets down to it, he says, look, whether we love one another, and we can't love one another if we don't love God, it's a matter of life and death. Now, can I ask y'all something? I know it's an opinion, but did you ever, as you've been looking at John and maybe hopefully learning something, we've gone through this study of John, did you ever think that John was really this straight shooting, such a cut and dry, day and night, just right and wrong type of guy? I mean, he's had the ability and the power to say, look, folks, I'm going to tell you, you're a liar. I mean, John doesn't leave any, he didn't put us in any gray area. He said, you either are or you are not. And remember what I've told you throughout my study, I don't care what people say, the proof's always in the pudding. And I probably ought, if I'd write a book on this, that probably ought to be the title, The Proof's in the Pudding. Can you imagine a commentary on the book of 1 John, the title, The Proof's in the Pudding? Lord, help me. I need prayer. So as we learn about love, love is the nature of God. Somebody turn, let's all turn, not just somebody, just a couple of pages away to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And this is, Judy, you're going to like this, one of my favorite verses in the entire Word of God. Because of the phrase in it, listen to what Peter says. And if you've never marked this verse in your Bible yet, I encourage you to, especially the two words or three that I'm going to give you. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We today, everybody in here that's saved, say amen. Now, I don't know about you, but folks, this does something to me. Do you know that we are presently, currently, a possessor and a partaker of the divine nature of God? Does that do anything to you? It does me. Man, I want to say, wow. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to testify here a minute. Greg did, so I'm going to. As I've been studying this lesson, and I forgot to give you the title, it's on three kinds of love. The first kind of love, we're looking in verses 7 through 10, it is divine love. Verses 11 through 19 will be duplicated love. Verse 21 will be deficient love. But as I've been studying this, I'm telling you, I'm afraid I come short. I mean to tell you, this has grabbed a hold of my heart, my spirit, and my mind. I have been doing my own personal soul work. I've been doing what 2 Corinthians 5 or 13:5 says, examine your own self. And it goes on to say, see whether you're in the faith. I know I'm in the faith, but I ought to examine myself some. And so should you, by the way. We are partakers of the divine nature. Now, the reason for that isn't for us to come here and feel good. How many of you like to be blessed when you come to church? Say amen. You know what we ought to pray? Lord, help me to be a blessing. Honestly, and you know what? I found out when we pray that, we'll not only be a blessing, we'll be blessed too. I like feeling good. I like watching you feel good. Even if I don't feel, if I'm not all the way there, you are, when it's moving in your heart and your life, the Spirit of God's going, you're testifying, you're singing, when we know God's touching you, I enjoy that. I mean, that's kind of like drinking from the saucer, you know what I'm saying? You remember mine and Doug's great-grandmother, Mama Walker. You ought to have loved her. Her and Miss Meeks would have been shouting buddies, I mean to tell you. And they'd always get their coffee, and at that time, at least they did, they'd have not only a cup, but a saucer. And y'all know what they'd do with that cup of coffee? Every time, they'd take that cup, pick it up, and pour it in the saucer. And then they'd pick it up. Since they weren't from the city, they'd never put their fingers up like that. Just grab a hold of it and go, you know, sup it down. You know, it's cool, I guess, is what they were doing. But anyway, yeah, I don't know why that got in there for, but it did. But anyway, we are partakers of the divine nature of God. And if we're partakers of it, we're not only partaking of it just to rejoice in it, to be feeling good about that, but you know what we ought to do? We ought to also be manifesting that. See, that gets close to me. See, the first question that goes in T.K. Price's mind is, am I? Am I manifesting the love of God? Let me ask you something. Who's the easiest person to love? I got your answer. Somebody loves you. Right? I mean, that's, I mean, if we're honest, if we're just telling the truth about who and what we are, we love people that are easily loved or lovable. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 5 and see what kind of love God has, and then see if you want to start examining yourself. Here's a news break. Straight from heaven. Everybody listen and say amen. You can be reading in your book or turn your Bible. Everybody's not easy to love. And even people that were easy to love last week may not be easy to love this week. Maybe they had a problem that you don't know about. Maybe they got a phone call that you don't know. Maybe they got a diagnosis from a doctor. We never know. But it's easy. I mean, I wish I could think of the scripture. Somebody could find it. He said, look, if we love like the publicans and the Pharisees, you know, what benefit is that to us? If we love like they do, do you think as Christians we've been called to a higher love than man knows? Everybody shake your little head like that dog in the back of a 64 Chevy. We are. And listen to what he said. Listen how much God loves us. Chapter 5 of the book of Romans. He said in verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing. You ever thought about the love of God a lot? You ever see anybody, it seems like maybe when they're right on their deathbed, I mean, they've been hellions, they've been heathens, they've been pagans, and just before they slip out in eternity, they pray a little prayer, repent, say, God save me, I'm a sinner, I'm sorry that I sinned. And you can see their countenance changed. You can sense the dynamic in the room change. You can know without a doubt when you get to heaven, you'll see them. You ever seen that happen? I have. Would you do that if somebody has abused you for a lifetime? Said no to you and your advances? And all of a sudden, when they were in dire, desperate needs, they said, God, I'm sorry. Or Tom, I'm sorry. Would I forgive them? Would you? Man, listen, I'm telling you folks, I'm coming way short on the measuring stick of love. I've got some work to be done in my heart. Everybody okay right now? Okay, good deal. So, as we look at this, if we are partakers of the divine nature of God and we've been united to Him by a new birth and we have His new nature imparted to us, we're partakers of that, shouldn't we love like God loves? I mean, that's an easy inference, isn't it? I mean, that's an easy thing to consider. Let's look at verse 7. Beloved, now you know I like that. It means somebody that is divinely loved, and we're divinely loved. And I'm glad it's a reference to the children of God, the child of God. And I'm glad that we are. And God uses this when He addresses us. To me, it's a very, very tender expression of relationship facts. He said, now watch what He said. Now listen to this. He said, let us love one another, for love is of God. Is love a choice? Now this is a trick question. So be cautious. What? What? Absolutely, it is a choice. Okay, I'll take that. Is it anything else? It is a command. It definitely is, and that's where I was going. It is a choice, without a doubt. We choose to love people, do we not? And can I tell you, we choose to love some other than others, don't we? And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you look at the apostles, you all know this. With the 12 apostles, Jesus chose out of the multitude of followers that followed Him, maybe even the disciples that were following Him. And you see how the crowd begins to shrink as we go down. After praying all night, He chose 12 men. And out of that 12 men, did He have an inner circle of three? And if He did, who were they? Named them. Peter, James, and John. Out of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John, who does Jesus call the beloved? John. So do you think in some degree that Jesus and John had a relationship that Peter and Jesus didn't? Or Peter, or Jesus and James didn't? Or Jesus and the other, what would that be, nine apostles didn't? That doesn't mean Jesus didn't love them. He just loved them in a different way. Had a different and deeper relationship with them. Mark, I'd invite you to dinner. You know that, don't you? All right, you've been in my home. Just because I wouldn't invite Mark to dinner or go to vacation with me doesn't mean I wouldn't help him if he called me some night at 2 o'clock and said, I need you. Are y'all with me? Now, I might not love him, and by the way, I don't, Mark, like I do Debbie, but I do love you, brother, you hear me? But I'm not supposed to. I'll take her on vacation. I'll take her out to dinner, too, by the way. Silly illustration, maybe, if you understand what I'm talking about. That doesn't mean that I don't love Mark, or doesn't mean that I wouldn't help Mark. And that's where I'm at in this. As we go through this love, divine love and duplicated love, and the duplicated love is the love that is produced through us by the internal presence of the Holy Spirit that is resident in our heart. And if you read on down through here, you'll get all this. It's a command that we do that, but we've got to let it happen. There was a time, I'll not call names, Debbie remembers. I went through a church split over at Casey. I don't care to tell you that. I was in the third year of the ministry, wasn't it? Third, fourth year of the ministry. And a church split. 29 people left. Man, we lost 3 deacons. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. We lost 5 Sunday school teachers. We lost a church secretary, a church clerk, a church Sunday school teacher. We lost 2 or 3 piano players. We lost a youth leader. We lost 2, what is our board made up? Trustees. Couldn't think of the word there. I mean to tell you, 29 people signed a letter. You'd think they were writing another Declaration of Independence. And it was over a doctrinal issue. I mean, it was difficult time. But it wasn't, what, 2 months after all that happened? I mean, we were in a mess, man. And we were in a flat-footed mess. One of the husbands of one of that family that led the charge, her husband got killed in an accident. I mean, within seeing distance of their home. Went off the bridge at Casey, turned upside down in a car, and drowned. He was drunk when he did it. Sad, sad, sad situation. You know what Debbie and I did? Now look, everybody listen, I'm not boasting. I'm boasting in the Lord. Y'all got that? If you do, say amen. God forbid that I'd boast in something like this. I am not doing this. I'm bragging on Jesus. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be telling this. Debbie and I went to the store, got 2 or 3 big bags of groceries, pop and stuff. We went down, knocked on the door of the mother of that family's house where we knew the daughter was. And you know what the daughter said when she opened the door and looked at us? Could you guess anybody? We knew you all would come. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, I'm still not comfortable when I see them out in public because I know what they said about me. I know what they did. I know the issues. I mean, I've forgiven them a long time ago, or I wouldn't have went and knocked on the door. I still love them. If I had a chance, they were in trouble, I'd go to them in a heartbeat. But I don't want to sit down to dinner with them. You hear me? Could I worship with them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Just don't want to. What do y'all think? That's funny, but listen, the Bible said, I can show it to you, live peaceably with all men as much as possible that lieth within you. So the inference is, if you can't live with them, live without them. Put distance in. And I've got biblical precedence for that. That's exactly what Abraham and Lot did. Abraham said, look, you go that way, I'm going that way. See, I know this gets close, and I know maybe not everybody likes it. But the truth is, folks, we're not perfect. We're still in a world where we deal with flesh, fallen nature, fallen men, and a fallen world. John Mark, yeah, they had a strong disputation or a falling out, to put it in simple language. Now, they didn't quit loving each other. They just disagreed to the point that they said, look, it's better if we can't go on this second missionary journey together. I'll take Silas. And look though, this is an amazing thing. We hear about Paul, but Barnabas kept being Barnabas through this. He didn't let Paul intimidate him. Barnabas saw something in John Mark that the Apostle Paul did not see. Isn't that amazing? So as Barnabas had stood up for Saul, who had been converted and is now known as Paul, and everybody and his brother were afraid of him, especially in the church. They thought it was some kind of subterfuge. They thought it was some kind of a covert, plan that Paul was going to come in, get names, and then come back and put people in jail and kill them and all of that. Barnabas said, hey, listen, guys, I'm going to stand up for him. I've seen what God's done through him, God wants to do with him. I've heard him preach. He's the real deal. Do y'all remember that? So when they went on the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas had a great time. They took John Mark with them to do what John Mark was supposed to do. And John Mark, for whatever reason, unknown in the Word of God, he left. He booked out. He couldn't take it. And when they got ready to go the second time, Barnabas said, look, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, no, I don't have time to put up with him. I'm not going to go through this again. I believe it hurt Paul. I believe it hurt his heart. I believe it hurt his spirit. And there was such a disagreement with them, they decided to go opposite ways. Barnabas never changed. He stayed with John Mark. Watch him develop. And that's a great thing. When Paul was ready to sign off in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, way late down in the chapter, he says, hey, by the way, Timothy, when you come, bring John Mark with you. He said, he's profitable to me for the ministry. Isn't that amazing? Who wrote the book of Mark? Somebody pray amen and go home. No, John Mark did. Mark. That wasn't a trick question. Y'all look at me like, what's he trying to do to me right now? John Mark did. The same guy that turned around and said, I can't do this anymore, Paul. Can't do this. I'm going home. Isn't that amazing? So look, love towards one another is amazing. Didn't have this in my notes. Let's go to the book of John chapter 13, maybe, if that's not it. It will be close. How important is love among God's people? Chapter 13. Would you have ever put it before we started studying the book of 1 John, would you put it to the point of saying it's as important, it'll make a difference between life and death? What? Amen. Y'all know why a lot of churches die? Two reasons. Because they don't love the Lord and they don't love one another. Who quoted Ephesians? What happened to Ephesians? They left. You did, didn't you, Barbara, in your testimony? You were talking about your nephew. We didn't lose it. He left it. Yeah, he left it. That's what Jesus wrote in his letter to the church of Ephesus. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. What are the two great commandments? What's the second? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Some smart aleck come by and ask Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Anybody in need? Did y'all get that? If you did, say amen. Anybody in need? You see, the Bible tells us, and I wish I could remember chapter and verse, I know it's in the book of Ephesians, maybe 5:17. Don't take me on that. But he said, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. This is what he said here in John 13:35. You can probably quote it. I think I can, but I want to read it. He said, well, let me pick it up in verse 34 while I'm so close to it. And we've run over this now in the beginning of John. This is sort of a refresher. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now watch this phrase, as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one, notice the word, to another, not for. I can have love something for something and never do anything to help it. But if I've got love to something, it'll motivate me. It'll motivate me to action. Are we doing okay? Am I making this plain? Are we getting it? Man, I want to tell you the truth. Before I started this study, I knew love was important. I knew it was kind of like a brand. You know that you remember what brands did? You know when they put them on the hind part of a cow? You know to put their stamp. This belongs to Bar X or Double D or all that kind of stuff. The stamp of love. I mean, we're to love each other. And guess what? The world knows when we don't. And more important than that, we know when we don't. And let me go a little bit further. The Holy Spirit knows when we don't. You want me to tell you what I think makes Roxalana the great church I think she is? Two things. I believe this with all of my heart. If it didn't, you all know me, I would not say it. Number one, you all love the Lord. I mean, this church is a special church. It's the best church I've ever pastored. And I mean that with all of my heart. I am biased. I'm prejudiced. I'll say amen to that. But it comes out of reality. I don't know of anybody in this church perfect. Nobody in this church. We don't have a perfect church. we're doing some good things, want to do great things. Right, Corey? Right, Josh? And I believe we can. I like Josh's testimony. I've been praying that way. I don't doubt Corey's been praying that way. If you heard him preach a couple of weeks ago, I believe God said, I was coming up here tonight, and the devil said, listen, man, you thought this place is going to be full, and look at that parking lot now. And I told the devil, I said, the Lord's not done yet, buddy. it's just short term. Hey, can I tell y'all, listen, I've not lost my vision of this place. It has not changed. It has not waxed. It has not waned. And I think my faith's growing deeper through this. I hope yours is also. But I believe the reason that we are what we are is you love the Lord. I've wondered for years how in the world you get people to do things. You can shame them and they can do it, but that's not the best kind. You can lead them, and you're supposed to, as a pastor, be an example to lead people. That's a good thing, but it still doesn't get it done. You know what I've come to believe? People do things, what they do for the glory of God, because they love the Lord. Now, let me give you some good advice. Hold on a second. If you really don't love the Lord, won't you just do something and fake it till you make it? Because if you start doing it, you might just fall in love with Him. Now, I'm telling you. You begin to spend a lot of time with the Lord, and you'll find out how great He is, and you'll want to spend more time, and the more time you spend with Him, the more you'll love Him, because the more things about Him you'll find to love. And the second one is, you love one another. How many people, Greg said it tonight, he talked about his family, but didn't you say, is this a quote, you are my family too? Tim Kouchner, what's this church mean to you? Everything. Why? Because it's your what? See, I feel like that. That's what's been hard, and I've not forgot you. I'll get whoever it was, some lady, I think. That's what's been hard about me not being able to be here, not being able to see you, not being able to part of my family, not being able to fellowship with you. You know? Exactly right. Do the ministry to walk with you in your journey, whether it be new life being birthed in or old life coming to its end. I mean that's it. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, you have love one to another. And that's easy to love people that are easy to love, folks. Here's what we got to get out of this message that God has sent us through John. We get down to what God wants us to do when we love those who are unlovable. If y'all get that, say amen. I don't know about you. It's still at now. Who was going to speak? Somebody? Yes. Well, you know what? We are the family of God. We like to sing that song, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. What do I call your mother, Steve? What do I call her a lot of time? When I speak to her, what do I call her? I call her mom. You know that's biblical? Y'all know that's biblical? You know, when I talk to the ladies, I'll say, well, hi, sis, how are you? I'll call Greg, Brother Greg. Y'all know why? It's biblical. But we're part of a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's ministry, isn't it, Judy? And it's ministry motivated by love. Why did God send His only begotten Son into this world? Because He loved us. You see, love on itself cannot get anybody into heaven. God cannot save somebody just because He loves them. God loves the world. It's not His will that any should perish. But there's going to be a multitude of people die lost and go to hell. But God, now listen to this, so loved the unlovable, the ungodly. There was nothing, the book of Romans 3:24, I believe it says, the word freely. We've been justified freely. I say this a lot because I can't get over it since I've learned it some time back. Freely, meaning that there is no cause within us to have God to love us. Somewhere in my notes in this lesson or the next that I'm preparing, God knew in eternity past, when He created man, He'd have to redeem him. It's one thing to give your breath to creation, to breathe in the nostrils of man, the breath of life, so the man can become a living soul. But it's another thing altogether to give your blood to redeem man that you created. See, God knew that. When He decided, I'll create, He knew He must redeem. So He was willing way before He did either of those either of those if you want me to be more proper. He did that in the beginning when he decided not only to give his breath, but also to give his blood. My Lord, folks. We ought to be shouting this place down. You hear me? I mean to tell you, listen, we come here, we're a bunch of redeemed people. Hey, our sins are under the blood. Our name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've been sealed by the Spirit. And we're going to find here in the latter part of John, 1 John 4, that, now listen to this. This is where I stopped in my studies today, in my writing today. As He is, so are we in this world. That's holy ground right there. Man, you're talking about a position. You know what that says? Where's Jesus at tonight? Anybody? In heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Y'all know because He's there, we're there. As He what? Is, so are we. And He goes on to say, in this world. Although He's there, and because we're in Him and He's in us, He's here in us. Now you go home and figure it out and then call me tonight about 12 o'clock and I'll be happy to listen. It's a mystery, but it's real. See, man, my position in Him, man, it takes care of everything that I can't. Look, we're going to keep looking. We're going to dig about love. Didn't get very far. And we're going to go back over verse 7, 8, 9, and 10 again. Didn't get very far, which I hope that's okay. But I'm learning about love, things that I didn't know. And pray for me. I love people, but maybe I don't love them enough, you know. But, too, the devil may be getting in trying to do things, too. I'm not there. I know I'm not there. So John was the one, if I understand the Scripture correctly, that leaned his head on the bosom of Jesus in the upper room that night. So I can't help but think about it. I didn't do a very good job trying to preach it the other morning, but he heard the heartbeat of God, I believe. He felt the breath of heaven fall on him. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine being close enough for the breath of Jesus to fall on you? Now, I'm telling you, there have been times in my life that I felt like if I'd reach out, I'd touch the hem of His garment. And y'all have been there too, some of you. Like I preached a couple Sunday nights ago about getting from here to there, getting in the holiest of holies, getting a touch of God on us, having it, keeping it, make sure we got it. I don't think I'm in the holy place, but there have been times I have been. And there's nothing like it, friend. I'm not there, but I want to get back. You understand what I'm saying? I want to get back. We need Him. I believe with all of my heart, folks, we're in the last hours of this thing. I really don't know when He's coming, but I'm going to tell y'all with sweet assurance, I know He is. So let's just live for Him. Live like He's coming today. I'm not anywhere near done. Lord, I'd like to have another 2 hours with you, but we'll ask Jerry to get us a song. Everybody stand. If there would be somebody here tonight, you don't know Jesus. You've heard about the love of God, but you've never experienced it. Paul said that when he prayed for the church of Ephesus, I pray that you might know the love of God. Now listen to what he said, which passeth or goes beyond knowledge. Now we can never explain it. We can talk about it, we can preach it and proclaim it, we can never explain how God loves somebody that's so unlovable like a sinner like me, and yet give His Son the best He had so that we would be saved. But He did. We can't explain that love, but we can experience it. And if you'd come to Jesus tonight, if you'd like to come to Him, if you don't know Him as your Savior, be a good night to do. I was saved on a Wednesday night. Bless God, be a good night to get saved for you. Let's